Psalms chapter 78. Psalms chapter 78. Are you glad you're in God's house tonight?
Amen.
Amen. Now, I heard this side, but I didn't hear much from this side. Are you glad you're in God's house tonight?
Sorry.
Amen. Amen. Good deal. Good deal. Looking at one verse of Scripture, but we're going to look at several verses in Psalms 78. We kind of got excited after praise and worship this morning, or during praise and worship, talking about that resurrection power overcoming every circumstance. Is there anything that can limit the power of God? Is there anything that can limit or hinder God from moving? Is there anything that can stop God's hand from moving? We're going to see that tonight. And very quickly, doesn't have anything to do with the message. If you get a chance, tell Brother Dale happy birthday. Today's his birthday. Amen. I think he's already got a letter from AARP. Twice. Amen. Happy birthday, Brother Dale. Amen. The Bible says, rejoice with those who do rejoice and weep with those that weep. I rejoiced when in my earlier years, but anyways, good to be another year on this side. Amen. Psalm 78, verse 41, if you're there, say amen. Yes, again and again, they tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. Yes, again and again, they tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. Father, we thank you tonight and we praise you. Lord, we thank you for that love that has come down and has continued to flow from your throne. God, your word declares that you so loved us that you gave your only begotten Son. Lord, we thank you for your love and your mercy and your grace. God, we thank you for your word. Speak to our hearts tonight. Lord, let our hearts and our minds be open and receptive, and that we may can learn and grow in you, Father, and avoid some mistakes that others have made that have walked this life before us. And God, help us tonight to receive and to hear and to understand what your word says. Help your servant tonight to speak what you have so wonderfully laid upon our heart. And we give you the praise and glory. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Limiting the Holy One. If you need a title for this message, simply entitled, Limiting the Holy One. The word limit means to grieve, to cause pain, to limit, to set a mark, to set a limit of how far one can go. Psalm 78 is very simply a snapshot dealing with the nation of Israel from the time of Moses all the way to the time of David. A great deal of it talks about their time spent in the wilderness and why so many of God's judgment came on them throughout the history. Psalm 78, if you take time and read it, don't do it right now, but if you take time to read it, you'll marvel at the works of God, but then you'll wonder how in the world they could turn so quickly. But again, it's a quick snapshot of Israel's history, again, from the time of Moses to the time of David. Many reasons why God's judgment came on them or they went through the difficulties they went through, it was not an act of nature. It was not a political situation. It was not a social situation. But it was their own actions and attitudes that caused them to fall or fail or to be blessed and to experience the power, presence, and the blessings of God. Let's look at a few things that God did. And this psalm brings it out. Psalm 78, beginning in verse 12. Marvelous things. Say marvelous things. Marvelous things he did in the sight of their fathers in the land of Egypt in the field of Zoan. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through. He made the waters stand up like a heap. In the daytime also, he led them with the cloud and at night with the light of fire. He split the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink in abundance like the depths. He also brought streams out of the rock and caused waters to run down to the rivers. Verse 23. Yet he had commanded the clouds above and opened the doors of heaven and had rained down manna on them to eat and gave them of the bread of heaven. Men ate angels' food. He sent them food to the full. He caused an east wind to blow in the heavens, and by his power he brought in the south wind. He also rained meat on them like the dust, feathered fowl like the sand of the sea. He let it fall in the midst of their camp. And you can go several verses in the script, this scripture in Psalm 78. It talks about all the marvelous things God did for them. And this was just a small snapshot. But because of their actions and attitudes, because of their disobedience, they limited, verse 41 kind of blows my mind, which is not much to blow, I know. But it says they limited the Holy One of Israel. They stopped his hand short. They limited the unlimited God, but at the same time, our actions and our attitudes will cause the same thing to happen to us. You and I can limit an unlimited God. If they could limit the Holy One of Israel, you and I could limit the Holy One of Israel as well. You say, well, wait a minute, Brother Doss, doesn't the scripture say, with God all things are possible? Yes, it does. Mark chapter 10, verse 27. But Jesus looked at them and said, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things, say all things are possible. All things are possible with God. God is unlimited. God is all powerful. He is all knowing. He is everywhere present. God is not limited by nature. God is not limited by time. God is not limited by distance. Satan himself cannot limit God in any way, shape, or form. Can you say amen? When we go back, and just a couple examples here, when we go back and we looked at Job, Satan literally had to ask permission from God before he could touch Job and his family. God literally had to let down the hedge. Satan says, I can't touch him because you've got a hedge about him. Satan could not touch Job until God let down the hedge. But also, Satan couldn't destroy Job completely because God limited him on how far he could go. But when the test of Job was over, Satan could not stop God in any way, shape, or form from restoring Job back to twice as much as he had before. But by restoring Job, Satan could not stop that in any way, shape, or form. When Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness as he began his earthly ministry, Satan tempted him in the wilderness, tempted Christ, we know at least three times through that 40 days, but he could not stop him or limit him. Jesus went into the wilderness full of the power of the Holy Ghost, but when he came out of the wilderness, he was still full of what? The power of the Holy Ghost. Can you say amen? Satan could not limit Jesus Christ himself. What about the idolatrous heathen nations of the Old and the New Testament? Egypt, with all their glory, with all their splendor, with all their wealth, with all their manpower, Egypt could not limit God. They had no power in standing against God in any way, shape, or form when all the 10 plagues came against them. Sodom and Gomorrah could not limit God. The nations of people God drove out before the children of Israel could not limit God. You say, well, Brother Doss, we know all those stories and we've got all that and we understand all that, but let's bring it on up to modern day time. When the rapture happens, how many of us here believe in the rapture of the church? There is absolutely nothing and no nation on this earth that's going to be able to stand in the way of the Lord when that trumpet sounds. They're not going to be able to reach up and grab hold of your foot and say, wait a minute, you can't do that. There's nothing that any nation on this earth can do when the rapture of the church comes forth. Can you say amen? When that trumpet sounds and Jesus says, come on up here. Can you say amen? There's not nothing any nation on this earth can do with all our powerful, with all our technology, with all our wisdom, seemingly wisdom. There's not nothing no nation can do to stop the rapture of the church. Amen. There's not anything that this nation can do when Jesus comes back, when we're coming with him with 10,000 and 10,000 of his saints. Can you say amen? When God brings judgment on this world, there's not nothing any nation can do. Amen. In other words, no one, nothing can limit God except, say except. The only thing that limits God in this whole universe is when his people walk in ways that are unpleasing to him. Do you know how powerful that is? Do you know what that must do to his heart? See, part of that word limit means to grieve. The one who created the heavens. And sometimes we just need to think about and dwell on and meditate how powerful God is. But the only thing that can limit God is when his people walk in ways that are unpleasing to happen to him. When that happens, it limits God on what he can and desires to do in and through our lives. Some would say, well, Brother Doss, doesn't the Bible say that all the promises of God are yea and amen, in him, amen? They are. But listen to me very carefully, every promise of God is conditional. Unless you and I must be walking in obedience to be in order to receive the promise. Every promise of God is conditional upon our obedience to him. Let's look at this verse. Are y'all still with me tonight? Yes, again and again, they tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. There's some good commentary here. That word tempted in chapter 78, verse 41, to put to the test, to try, to prove, to tempt. This verb occurs less than 40 times in the Old Testament. The basic idea is to put someone to the test to see how he will respond. Abraham was tested by God to the most utmost degree, and he passed the test. David called for God to test his mind and his heart, confident that he would pass his test. Listen to this. It is God's privilege to test man. It is not man's right to test God. In this reference, the wilderness generation insulted and grieved the Lord by tempting and limiting him as if to test his patience and his power. I like that phrase right there. It is God's privilege to test man. It is not man's right to test God. The only place I see in the scriptures, anywhere at all, where we can test God is in the area of tithing. In Malachi chapter 3, where God says, try me now in this, test me now in this, to see if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out such a blessing that you may not be able to contain it. That's the only place we can test God. We do not have the right to test God. We do not have the right to limit God. We do not have the right to question God. But he does have the right to test us. Can you say amen? Amen. Israel did three main things. Number one, they turned back to the old ways. Psalm 78, verse 56 and 57. Yet they tested and provoked the Most High God and did not keep his testimonies, but turned back, say turn back, and acted unfaithfully like their fathers. They were turned aside like a deceitful bowl. Every time things got a little hard on the wilderness wanderings, what the first thing they wanted to do? They wanted to head back to Egypt. They had forgotten how hard Egypt was. They wanted to turn back, and they kept turning back to the unfaithfulness that their fathers had set before them. They turned back from following and worshiping the one true God. They had a desire to go back again to the flesh pots of Egypt. They turned back to their old ways. First thing they did was turn back. Second thing they did was tempted God. That's what it says. Again and again, they tempted God. They tested, they tried God. In Numbers chapter 14, verse 22, it says, because all these men who have seen my glory and the signs which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness and have put me to the test now these 10 times and have not heeded my voice, they certainly shall not see the land of which I swore to their fathers, nor shall any of those who rejected me see it. These are the same people that he brought out with a mighty hand out of Egypt. Same exact group. He said all those people that tested him over 10 times, God was patient, God was long-suffering, but when enough was enough, God said, that's enough. And the reason they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, because they kept on tempting and testing God by their disobedience. Number three, they limited God. He was not able to accomplish what he desired to do in and through them because of their attitudes and their actions. God wanted to bless them mightily. He had heard their cries. He had sent the prophet Moses to deliver them out. God wanted to bless them mightily and bring them into the promised land, but he couldn't because of their disobedience. And their blessing was delayed at best because of their disobedience. Can I tell you there are some things that can cause us to limit God? Hello. How many of you know an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure? We're doing preventive maintenance. You know what preventive maintenance? Go ahead and take care of a problem before it starts showing up. Can you say amen? Amen. Let's look at some things that can limit God in our lives. Can we limit God? Absolutely. Number one, it's obvious, it's sin. Sin. Isaiah 59, beginning of verse 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. Who moved? Who moved? What caused the separation that the prophet Isaiah was talking about? What caused that separation between us, the people of God, and God's power being worked in their lives? He said, but your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. Psalm 66, 18, it's not up there, Mikey. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. You say, well, Brother Doss, that's Old Testament. It still applies in the New Testament today. You can't live in sin. You can't play with sin. You can't dilly-dally in sin. You can't have a little hidden sin in your heart or on the side and expect God to move in your life. You limit what God can do in your life. The one who spoke the heavens and the earth into creation is limited by our sins in our life. Can you say amen? But God in his love, God in his mercy, God in his grace, God in his long suffering is willing. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Even though sin separates us, God makes a way that that separation can be removed, and it's through confession and repentance and forgiveness. Can you say amen? Because God doesn't like to be limited. He wants to bless us. He wants to do good things in our hearts and our lives. Touch your neighbor and say, he wants to bless you tonight. Confession restores us to the place where we need to be. Number two, unbelief. Say unbelief. Psalm 78, verse 22. Because they did not believe in God and did not trust in his salvation. How in the world? How in the world? They saw the 10 plagues that God brought on the children of Israel. They've got a cloud, a fiery cloud that leads them by day and a pillar of fire by night. He literally feeds them. We just read it with angels' food every day. They've seen his hand at work. But yet they still did not believe in him or trust in his salvation. Hello. Unbelief was still prevalent in their lives. Verse 32. In spite of this, they still sinned and did not believe in his wondrous works. Unbelief is a major problem. It not only hindered in the Old Testament, it hindered Christ himself in the New Testament. Mark chapter 6, verse 5 and 6. Are y'all still with me tonight? Mark chapter 6, verse 5 and 6. I'm trying to catch up, see where I'm at. I'm going to have to look it up. Now he could do no mighty work there except he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. Go on to the next one, please. And he marveled because of their unbelief. Then he went about the villages in a circuit teaching. Unbelief limited what God, what Jesus wanted to do in his own hometown. And he marveled at them because of their, what? Because their unbelief. Now he did heal a few sick folks. But it limited him on what he could do. Amen. It limited God in the Old Testament. It limited Jesus in the New Testament. And unbelief will limit what God can do in our day as well. When God deals with our heart, listen to me. When God deals with our heart, when God's moving on our heart, when God wants to do a work in our life, when God has his hand reached out to us and he wants to minister to our hearts, to our minds, to our circumstances, our situation, and we sit there and don't respond, you are responding with two things. Number one, pride. And the number two, you're responding with unbelief. And you're limiting what God can do in your life. And you, when you come to a point, when you cry out and say, why am I in this fix? Don't look at God, honey. Don't look at anybody else. Look in your own heart because of your unbelief. That's why you're in the same shape you're in.
Amen.
Unbelief. It limits the one who speaks the heavens and the earth into existence. The woman, the one who spoke and calmed the seas. It still limits him. Hello, are y'all with me tonight? This is just kind of like Jeremiah, kind of like a fire shut up in our bones. See, the Bible tells us whatever things we ask in prayer, believing, we will receive. Can you say amen? Number three, prayerlessness. Jesus didn't say when you pray or if you pray. He said, but when you pray. He desires to communicate with us. More importantly, it's the most important aspect of our relationship with Christ is to communicate with the Lord from the heart. Prayer opens up the gate for God's power to flow in our lives. We sang that song, this is how we fight our battles. There are three things you've got to have in place to fight your battle and win spiritually. Number one, it's got to be prayer. Number two, it's got to be the word. And number three, it's got to be worship. Prayer, the word, and worship. Listen to me very carefully. When one of those three things is not in place, you will never have a victory. When one of those three things is not in place, you will never have a victory. But when those things are in place, guess what? You'll be victorious every time. You may have to go through the fight. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers us out of them all. Hello, are y'all with me tonight? Prayerlessness. See, the Bible spoke through the prophet Jeremiah, and he said this, call to me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. He says, call to me, and I will show you. God says, I will loose my power. I will loose my presence in your life. I'll show you some things. Can you say amen? Number four, y'all still with me tonight? What can limit God in our lives? The lack of studying, keeping, and obeying the word of God. Kind of goes with what we talked about. Look at me in Psalm 78, verse 10. Psalm 78. They did not keep the covenant of his God. They refused to walk in his law. Verse 37. For their heart was not steadfast with him, nor were they faithful in his covenant. Verse 57. But turned back and acted unfaithful like their fathers. Excuse me, verse 56. Let me go back there. Yet they tested and provoked the Most High God and did not keep his testimonies. You say, well, Brother Doss, they didn't have his word. Oh, yes, they did. They had the very beginning of his word, because what did Moses go up on the hillside to get? What did he go up on the mountain to get? He went up the mountain to get the testimonies. They had a fresh copy. It was not a replica. It was the fresh copy. Can you say amen? And Moses came down and spoke it to the people. He spoke it over the people. But they would not keep his word. They would not keep his word. See, the Bible tells us in Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. We limit God by lack of knowledge of his word. We limit God when we don't apply God's word to our life. We limit God when we don't stand upon the promises and live according to the principles of God's word. We limit God when we don't stand upon his word, when we don't live out his word. His word is spirit and it is life. It is forever settled in heaven. When Jesus was dealing one-on-one with the enemy in the desert, what was he dealing with? He was using the word, it is written, it is written, it is written. He was standing on the power and the promise of God's word. Can you say amen? But when we don't apply, when we don't live according to the word of God, We limit God, but oh, but when we apply and stand upon the promises of God's word, when we apply it, when we walk in obedience to his word, great and powerful things can happen. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That doesn't mean just understanding it, but rightly dividing it, applying it in our lives, in our hearts. Number five, what can limit God in our life? One of the biggest things is pride. Pride. You've heard me say this many times, take P off pride and you've got a ride, and pride will take you for a ride every time. James 4:6 tells us, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. James 4:10 says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. Their disobedience, the children of Israel, their disobedience in the wilderness was mainly a major result of pride. They forgot the suffering they had just come out of. And because things, listen to me, because things got to going good, because they had their bellies full and their the abuse of the Egyptians off their back, they became relaxed in their relationship and got full of what? Pride. I told somebody the other night, and we were talking, and something I've learned as it being in so many years of ministry is this: if Satan can't stop you from getting a blessing, then he'll take the blessing and push you over the edge with it. He'll take you and he'll cause you to get so lifted up in yourself and said, oh, well, I've done this. God's just good to me because I'm such a wonderful person. And he'll cause you to go over the other side. He'll cause us to get so full of pride. Can you say amen? Amen. One of the most dangerous things. That's why we've got to stay humble. That doesn't mean we've got to be a doormat, but we've got to stay humble before the Lord. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and he shall lift you up. I like that phrase, and I talked about it the other night, James 4:6. But he gives more grace. He gives more grace to the who? To the humble. How much grace is more grace? For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should. Man, grace enough to save us is awesome. Can you say amen? But how many of you would like some more grace? You know what grace is? It's God's favor. It's God's favor. It's his blessing. It's his hand being upon you. In other words, literally, I could go all night with this one right here, but I'm not, because y'all know I can get long-winded sometimes. Don't say amen to that, please. But anyway, when God begins to put more of his favor upon you, when God begins to put more of his blessing upon you, again, nothing can limit when God begins to do that. You say, Brother Doss, that's kind of a big step. That's a big statement. You know what? We got a big God. Tell Daniel that he was limited by God. He went through three different kings and three different kingdoms, and every time God's favor was upon him, and it rose him up to tremendous places. Joseph was kidnapped, treated terribly by his brothers, beat up, sold out, falsely accused, and every time God raised him up to a place of leadership till finally he got to be the second in command in Egypt. That was a redemption for the whole nation of Israel as the beginning of the nation of Israel. Why? Because God's favor was upon him. Why? Because they stayed humble before the Lord. Jesus tells us, if we're going to be Christians, to be Christ-like, he said, take of my yoke and learn of me, for I am what? Meek and lowly in heart. Meekness does not mean weakness. Humility puts you in a place where God's favor can be upon you. And let me tell you, when God's favor, listen to me, when God's favor gets upon you, there ain't nothing and no one that can stand in the way. There's no one that can limit God when God's favor is upon you. Can you say amen? Amen. We're beginning to circle. What else limits God? Being unfaithful. Aren't you glad you showed up for church tonight? Well, I was, so you started preaching, bless God. I thank you for your faithfulness. Psalms 78, verse 37. I want to go ahead and read verse 36. Nevertheless, they flattered him with their mouth, and they lied to him with their tongue. For their heart was not steadfast with him, nor were they faithful in his covenant. Unfaithfulness. Verse 57 and 58. But turned back and acted unfaithfully like their fathers. They were turned aside like a deceitful bow. For they provoked him to anger with their high places and moved him to jealousy with their carved images. They're worshiping false gods. They're worshiping false deities. But yet none of these deities made the waters part at the Red Sea. None of these deities fed them every morning. None of these deities called the cloud to be there by day and the fire to be there by night. None of those deities caused the manna to become so thick, the quail to come so thick that it was 3 foot around their camp, 3 foot thick around their camp. None of their deities could do that. Yet they fell down and they began to worship false gods because of their unfaithfulness. We must be faithful to the Lord, especially in this day and age. The greatest mark of our faith is our faithfulness. What did Jesus say the good servant's going to hear? Well done, thou good and what? Faithful servant. Church, we've got to be faithful. Faithful in every area of our lives, faithful to pray, faithful in the word, faithful in our church attendance, faithful to give. Now, I know I'm talking to the choir. I'm talking to those that are higher than the choir tonight. I thank you for your faithfulness. But church, I just want to admonish and encourage you. Lest we've got to stay faithful. Can you say amen? Amen. This thing is just about over. You said, Brother Doss, I've been hearing that all my life. I have too. But we are closer than we have ever been before. Can you say amen? If not, we better look out because judgment's going to come on America and we're going to see it. When states, I've already hit on this, when states are ruling and making their laws that you can have a baby born, set it on a side on a bench somewhere until the mama decides whether she wants to keep it alive or not. Friend, I want to tell you, we're in trouble as a nation. Can you say amen? We don't know what God will do, but we know what he did in the past. When Pharaoh slew all the Hebrew male children, trying to get rid of Moses, the last plague was he destroyed all the firstborn of Egypt, no matter what their age was. Judgment will come. When you destroy 60 million lives in less than 50 years, judgment will come. Can I tell you tonight, if there's ever a day we need to be faithful, it's now. Faithful to the Lord, faithful to his word, faithful to his promises. Number 7, is this all right tonight? We're doing prevention. Getting the tires aired up. Making sure the oil's changed. Number 7, wrong attitudes. Say wrong attitudes. Chapter 78, verse 8. And may not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that did not set its heart aright and whose spirit was not faithful to God. What's some wrong attitudes? Unforgiveness, rebellion, bitterness. One particular scripture, we can go look in Matthew. Jesus said, and it's not up there, Mikey, Jesus said, if we don't forgive our brother their trespasses, neither will our Heavenly Father forgive us our trespasses. There's a very powerful scripture about bitterness. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15, looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. See, when we let that root of bitterness, I'm going to be preaching a message about that and not to the not too distant future. that root, just a root of bitterness. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. Wrong attitudes can limit what God can do in our life. Number 8, murmuring. Can you say that word with me? It sounds like you're murmuring, murmuring. Complaining, gossiping, backbiting. Verse 19 of 78. Yes, they spoke against God. They said, can God prepare a table in the wilderness? They complained against God. They spoke against God. I just don't believe I'm going to be speaking against the fellow, the one that puts food on my table every morning. I don't believe I'm going to speak against the one that's allowing my clothes to grow with me and they're still just like brand new. I don't think I'm going to speak against the one that causes my enemies to flee before me. Can you say amen? I don't think that I'm going to speak against the one that has just brought me out of 400 years of bondage and set me free. Can you say amen? But what did they do? They spoke against God. Look at the challenge. Look what the Lord said in Numbers. We read part of it. We're going to read the rest of it. Numbers 14, verse 28. So to them, as I live, saith the Lord, who's speaking? Just as you have spoken in my hearing, so will I do to you. In other words, God was listening to what they were saying. The carcasses of you who have complained against me shall fall in this wilderness, all of you who were numbered according to your entire number, from 20 years old and up above, except for Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. You shall by no means enter the land which I swore I would make you to dwell in. A whole generation died in the wilderness, from 20 years old and upward, except for Joshua and their family, and Caleb and his family. It took 40 years to get rid of that generation. But you've got to understand, they just didn't die in the wilderness. It says in the New Testament, it is confirmed. He said, they shall not enter into my what? My rest. They not only didn't enter into the promised land, they didn't enter into heaven either. They died in the wilderness. They missed heaven altogether. All because of their what? Their murmuring and their complaining. The same ones, again, that God had delivered out of Egypt with a strong and mighty hand. The same one for 40 years. He still fed them with manna all around. The same one he still gave quail. The same one he gave water from a rock. The same one he did all those things. They died. Did you hear what the term he used? He said, your carcass. You know what? Listen to me. A carcass is something what? Dead. He already recognized them as dead. He says, you're a dead man walking. He said, your carcass is going to fall in the wilderness. He said, you might be breathing. He said, but you're a dead man walking. All because of their what? Complaining. They limited God. God, when he delivered, he said, Brother Doss, that's hard. No, it wasn't God's fault, it's their fault. God desired to bring them all into Egypt. I mean, all into the promised land. He brought them all out. He wanted to bring them all in. Amen. Brother Doss, that's Old Testament. Boy, that's a little rough. Let's go to New Testament, see what it says. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 9. Nor let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents. Nor complain as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. Verse 11. Now all these things, say all these things, happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Paul was writing this to the church at Corinth. He said, all those things happened to them to set an example for us to learn from. So we wouldn't have to, so we could learn from their what? From their mistakes. But they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. If Paul considered it close to the end of the age at his time, how much closer are we tonight? How much closer are we tonight? Does this speak to us still that we better be careful, that we don't need to limit God? Amen. Can you say amen? All these things. We could go on and on. The sad thing, again, I shared a little bit just a moment ago. They not only missed out on the promised land, they missed out on heaven. He said, they shall not enter my rest. See, they listen to me. They not only limited God, they lost out themselves. Anytime we limit God, we wind up losing out ourselves. They thought they were in control, but they lost all control when they limit God. Take a breath. How do we not limit God? How do we not limit God? How do we not limit God? Very simple. One simple word, obedience. Obedience. Say obedience. 1 Samuel 15:22. Then Samuel said, has the Lord his great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices? And as in obeying the voice of the Lord. Behold. That word behold means to pay attention, take notice, sit up and listen. To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. To obey is better than sacrifice. Being obedient to what? Number one, staying free from sin. Staying free from sin. Being obedient to, number two, believing, not allowing unbelief to get in. Being obedient to pray, not to allow prayerlessness to creep in, but to be a person of prayer. Being obedient to studying and applying and obeying God's word. Can you say amen? Being obedient to staying humble before the Lord. Being obedient to staying faithful, taking steps of faith. Being obedient to keeping a right attitude. Hello. Being obedient to have that positive confession. Whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are worthy, think on these things. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. If we've got something negative to say, we better check it before we let it come out. Can you say amen? Hello, somebody. The thing about it, but if it's in our thought life, we better check that as well. Here's the difference between God and Satan. Satan can't do anything about your thought life until it comes out your mouth. Now, he can put a thought in there. But God not only holds us accountable for the words we speak, but also for the thoughts we think. He's a discerner of the thoughts and the intentions of the what? Of the heart. He holds us accountable for the thoughts that we think as well. What did David say? Oh Lord, search me and try me. Search my what? Thoughts. And see if there's any wicked way where, not out here, but within me. Oh God, help us to stay humble. See, the Bible says, tells us our weapons are not our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, bringing into captivity every what? Thought. And imagination to the image of Christ. Keeping our thoughts where they need to be. But when we walk in obedience, obedience will lose the power and presence of God's work mightily in your life. Obedience will literally untie God's hands to move in your heart, in your life, in your circumstances, and your situations. We talked about this morning. I got plumb excited this morning. I've been excited about all day. When I begin to think about how awesome God is. Amen. And that how nothing can stand in His way. And the Bible also tells us no good thing will He withhold to those who what? Walk uprightly. There's nothing that can stop God from moving when we, you and I are walking in obedience. I don't want to limit God. I don't believe there's a person in this place tonight that wants to limit God. I just want to see what God can do. Can you say amen? I look at these young people right here. I say young people. I didn't say call you kids. I think we need to change the number, the saying of kids club to young people club, don't y'all? Yeah. Don't you tell Pastor Matt's in the nursery. He'll get me tomorrow on that. But I see the potential. Because the same God that moves in your mom's and dad's life wants to have that ability to move in your life. And if you begin to serve Him and walk with Him at an early age, there's no limit, no telling what He can do. I wonder, what does God have planned for them? I get nervous when I think about my own grandchildren. Boy, what are they going to be facing in this world we're living in? But let me tell you something. There's not a child that's born that's here by accident in the right timing. If God allowed them to be born, then He's big enough to take care of them. But it's up to mom and daddies and grandparents to help them walk in the right way. Can you say amen? And teach them the right things. So the power and the presence of God can be unlimited in their life. Hello. Every head bowed and every eye closed tonight. Brother Dawes, this is kind of heavy tonight. There's a difference between milk and meat. Meat's for the mature. Hello? Just a quick question. We're going to have an altar call here in just a moment. And we're just going to open it up for whatever you want to come and pray about, just to come and pray and seek the Lord for whatever reason. Just come spend time with Him. But if there are some areas in your heart and your life tonight that you've not allowed God to have full access, that while we were preaching, you said, you know, Brother Dawson, I may have limited Him in that area of my life. Can I tell you? Tonight is time to make it right. Say, God, cleanse me. God, wash me. You may not have known that was an area. You may not have known that was a stumbling block. You may not have known. But after tonight, you do know. You may want to just come up and say, God, I don't want anything to limit You in my life. God, have Your will. Have Your way.